It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and there has been lots of talk these days about kids, teenagers specifically. It's not necessarily our opinion, but Bill, you hear other people saying, you know, what's wrong with teenagers today?
These kids today.
They're rude.
You have to say it that way.
They're spoiled.
Right.
They have this
self-obsessed.
Entitled. A new study actually reveals that teens today are 40% less empathetic than they were 30 years ago, and we're about to find out why. On the line with us right now is Dr. Michelle Borba, and nice to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Why does it seem that more teens today don't give a care about anybody else?
Well, luckily it isn't all of them, because there's a lot of good kids out there. But we are concerned about a trend that just in the last 30 years, there's been a 40% drop in empathy. And it's a combination of factors. I think first is that they're more and more plugged in, and you don't learn empathy facing a screen. You have to do face-to-face connection. Second, parenting styles have really kind of changed. I think a lot of it because of the no child left untested phase.
So we've no child left what?
Untested. It was the constant testing, and that was a whole era where all emphasis went on the achievement scores and the SAT scores, and they still are, to the admissions, where in reality what we did is we scheduled our kids, and we've seen a tremendous drop in just unscheduled play. And play is another piece where kids learn empathy 101. Celebrities became more and more the kids' role models, and you learn empathy by looking up to people you admire. 10 years ago, when we asked kids, who do you want to be when you grow up, it was a doctor or a leader or a fireman, and right now it's a celebrity or an NFL player. So it's not one thing. It's just knowing that there is a new change in culture. You can't change the culture, but you still can do what we all want to do best, is raise good kids. And I think what seems to be lying a little dormant that we need to tune up a notch is empathy 101.
Michelle, getting on your subject of celebrities, because of reality television, and I'll call it the Kardashian factor, when kids are seeing people who are so self-obsessed and think that the whole world revolves around them, like the Kardashians seem to believe, that's going to leave a mark on a kid, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because we're already seeing the biggest mark it's leaving, unfortunately, is with our tween girls, and why more and more of them are thinking that it's what I look like matters more than who I am. But even that said, what I've done in On Selfie is just look at all of the latest research saying, no matter what, we can really turn this around. One of the most interesting strategies on flipping that paradigm is not only presenting kids with good role models, I don't care if it's Great Aunt Sally or the neighbor next door, or just looking through the newspaper and cut out examples of fabulous kids. They're always hidden on the back page of the newspapers, but they're incredible stories about inspiring kids. Start sharing those with children. A camp study was also done when they brought in self-accepted kids, tweens, and all they began to do is praise them for qualities from the inside out. They were deserved qualities, but they were character-driven, like maybe it's a child's tenacity, or that one was really respectful. And then they told them why. What began to happen is very slowly, after just a certain amount of time at that camp, the self-absorption went down because kids began to see themselves in a different positive light. It's just revamping things so kids began to see themselves as we, not me.
What a great concept. The book that Dr. Michelle Borba has written is called Unselfie, Why Empathetic Kids Succeed in Our All About Me World. And it is pretty funny to watch teenagers walk down Michigan Avenue out in front of the Allstate Showcase studio. They're in a group. They're maybe walking to the beach, and they're all really loud and obnoxious and taking selfies every other step. And it cracks me up to watch that.
Yeah.
It's like you have to document everything these days.
Yeah, they're so cute. But the only thing we're worried about, too, is that they're also a generation, and rightly so, the Internet's going to stay. It's not going away. But they'd rather text than talk. And what we do know is the seeds of empathy. I've identified 9 habits that are crucial. Habit number 1 is emotional literacy. It's really hard to feel for another human being unless you can recognize that, how that person's feeling, by either their voice tone or their posture or their facial expressions. And too often what they're doing is they're relying on emojis in order to figure out emotional training. Particularly, unfortunately, our boys. We're talking far more emotions with our daughters from a very early age. So it's just little things to tweak so that we we end up raising who we want to raise is the kid who we hope is going to be able to thrive and survive out there in the real world.
Michelle, empathy is a learned behavior, right? It's not innate. That's something that you pick up from your surroundings, correct?
Yeah, what the new research is saying is that you are hardwired for it. That's the good news. Our children arrive with it, but unless we nurture it, it lies dormant, and that's the biggest problem. I think, first of all, many parents are assuming that it's just a temperament, or girls are maybe better at it than boys, or it's not something that you necessarily have to focus on. And as a result, I think that's one issue why just the culture is changing and we're not tuning it up nearly enough. I mean, I even tell parents, just check your messages when your kids come walking in the door. So often our first question is, what did you get? Or how was the test? As opposed to, you know, how are you doing with your friends? Or what's a kind deed that you saw today? As a result, what happens is those messages really start to build up. They did a fascinating study at Harvard of thousands of kids. When they asked them, how important do you think for in your own home that your parents thought you should care, only 20% of kids said that they thought their parents did. Oh. Now, that isn't true.
20%?
We know that we want them to care. 20%.
Oh, no.
It was all on the opposite side. It was far more important than my kids, but that my mom thinks that I need to get the test for. Well, yes, we want our kids to be smart, but I know we want them to be nice, and it just means we need to just tune it up a little more. There's over 300 ideas in that book. I don't care what you choose, but choose a couple of them that matter most to you and keep doing that, because we now know that empathy is a key factor to our children's success. It's a job employability factor that's very high. Businesses are looking for kids who can step into the shoes of the client. But it's also the seeds of healthy relationships, so that's really going to help your child be what you really want is the happier kid.
You know, I have things to learn every day, and anybody who's a parent who says, oh, I'm the best parent ever, I don't need to learn anything, is lying. And when you say, ask them, how was your day, not did you make it to summer school, did you do your homework, I feel in this era of double working parents, you know, we each have a job, we come home, we don't have a lot of downtime, so we try to get to the agenda right away, like, hey, did you finish your homework for summer school, when are you finished, it just ruins everything. Like, today I'm going to make an active effort when my teenage boys come home to go, hey, how was your day?
And you're going to go, whoa.
Who are you?
All right, I'm not that bad, Dr. Borba.
No, it's not. But you nailed something. Every parent is in the same agenda. We are so much of a to-do list with so struggling to do so much. And what we're also dealing with as a big concern is that we've never seen such higher stress levels of our kids. When stress builds, empathy wanes because you're in survival mode, which is why one of the key habits on selfie is self-regulation. Maybe during the summer, one of the easiest ones on that is just deep breathing. They've actually discovered that, my gosh, Navy SEALs, that's what they do to keep fear at bay. So teach your kids to slow deep breaths and do it as a family. In fact, any of these strategies are so easy. You don't have to say, okay, now it's 6 o'clock, let's do empathy building. But if you find a couple of them and you just make them into little routines and rituals, kids like them and they become a habit that your child's going to be able to do without you. And that's what you're really wanting.
Dr. Michelle Borba's book is called Unselfie, Why Empathetic Kids Succeed in Our All About Me World. We have callers on hold. We're at 312-981-7200. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to those questions next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. We are talking about why we need empathetic kids and how we can help get our kids to be more empathetic. Dr. Michelle Borba on the line with us. She's an educational psychologist, parenting, bullying, and character expert. And her new book is called Unselfie, Why Empathetic Kids Succeed in Our All About Me World. During the break, Dr. Michelle, somebody texted, today our son is doing nothing but enjoying some time relaxing, napping, eating, as the kids today just run and run and run, but not today. They're letting him take the day off. You got to do that once in a while, don't you?
Oh, I am cheering up and down. Yay, mom. Yes, because they need downtime, don't we all?
Yes.
But they need to decompress. And what we're finding is that many of our kids are not only not knowing how to decompress, but not even enjoying their own company. So, yay.
All right. Well, that's good.
That's a good thing.
We have a listener, Mark, who has a question for you. Mark, this is Dr. Michelle Borba.
Well, actually, it's not a question. In what used to be what's now Asperger's spectrum, which used to have one with Asperger's syndrome and used to have high-functioning, well, that should used to have high-functioning Asperger, what's beneficial is the fact you're very sensory. The major downside is the lack of empathy. You're not wired for it, as you well know. And the thing is, these kids have a tremendous difficulty building relationships because they can't have eye contact. They're always looking away, and other kids think it's like, what, they can't look at me? So they end up having a lot of social difficulties because of that.
And a lot of people don't understand that, Mark, you know.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And if it's identified early, then they can be worked with and educated in the things you've got to look for. I mean, I didn't discover it until I was 60. I mean, I'm a pharmacist, and I've developed a lot of empathy through the years. I mean, I can cry from a TV show. But I finally understand my mother because she has empathy for nothing whatsoever. And difficulty with friendships and everything else, and I'm grateful that I evolved. But a lot of the kids, because I deal with as pharmacists, and I also have a psych background from the University of Illinois, I deal with people with depression, anxiety, bipolar, with these issues all the time, and I try to work with them, not just from the pharmaceutical aspect, but a counseling aspect to help them. And I have parents that have brought in their kids who have been identified with high-functioning Asperger to let them be aware you can be successful, but the things you need to acquire to really break down those boundaries that keep you from having friendship success and future success.
Dr. Michelle, would you like to address this?
Most people, but not in everybody.
That's true. It is inborn in most people, but on the autism spectrum, sometimes that is just not part of how they're wired, as you mentioned, Mark. Dr. Borba?
Well, I'm agreeing with what Mark's saying. My first teaching career, I was a former special ed teacher, and the first 3 years I taught were with children and with autistic children. And it was a big piece to make sure that I learned perspective taking to get into their shoes. We also were doing a lot of things at UCLA, teaching to help them learn social skills. And one of the things is actually teaching them by looking in mirrors over and over again to keep their head up, or at least starting with strong body language. In fact, if there's one tip I could tell any parents, my background is also bullying prevention. We look at thousands and thousands of hours of kids, of videos of children out on a playground most likely to be bullied, and the number one sign is a child using what's called wimpy body language. So if we can at least tell them to hold their head up, eye contact is very tough for some kids. Looking at the back of a dot behind the person, or a for some kids, it could be with learning disabilities, the dot be right at the bridge of the person's nose, at least getting them to hold their head up, because I'm also convinced that empathy is the best antidote we have to bullying. Mobilizing the compassion of 25% of kids on a school campus, 85%, excuse me, who aren't the bully, aren't the victim, but are bystanders. And there's phenomenal work we can do. In fact, Chapter 8 in Unselfie is all about how to teach moral courage and bystander skills. So we mobilize kids who can step in and help kids who are more likely to be picked on and victimized.
That's really interesting, Dr. Borba. And Mark, thank you for contributing. We really appreciate it. And you might want to check out this book.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. You mentioned that to hold your head up and stuff, it's like a bully is going to, just like an animal, you're going to look for someone who is
the weakest lamb.
Yeah.
Vulnerable.
That's
remember
it.
What bullies really are like. There's all different reasons for bullies, so I don't want to do a carte blanche cookie cutter approach, but bullies very often are looking for kids who are more vulnerable by nature. So the first step that I teach parents as a step is, teach your child, always look at the color of the talker's eyes. Now, there's two reasons. Number one, you can start that at age two. It helps your child learn to tune in. For some kids, the look in the colored eyes, as Mark just said, is going to be next to impossible. So that's the bridge of the nose or behind, or at least starting to use strong body language. But the other thing it does is that the first habit of empathy is emotional literacy. That also helps kids, particularly a plugged-in generation, 7.5 hours a day, says Common Sense Media, is the average time our kids are now plugging in, to put down the device and look at the other person so that you can start learning emotional literacy.
And, you know, a lot of the bullying starts, they talk about cyberbullying, but we get texts in here every day and you're, you know, yes, you have someone's phone number and technically you could call them back, but it's easier to slam someone when you're not looking them in the eye face to face.
Exactly. That's why we're finding that cyberbullying is going up a notch. But we also know something, that bullying by nature is a relationship problem. And most research is still telling us that it starts on the playground or face-to-face, then finally gets to the point where the kid realizes, okay, I can do it anywhere and anywhere, and it's just a lot easier electronically. We're now looking at about 20% of even our kindergartners engaging in mean kind of behavior patterns. That's scary, because all of that is learned, and the more engaged you are in mean behaviors, it means that you start adopting those behavior patterns and empathy starts to go down. It just means collectively as a group of adults, we need to step in and say, no, that's not how we act. I expect better of you. I'm disappointed in that. Let's redo it because you're a caring person.
And
then we walk them through and say, let's do it again.
I can't wait to read this book. It's called Unselfie, Why Empathetic Kids Succeed in Our All About Me World. Her name is Dr. Michelle Borba. You can go to Michelle with one or two L's.
One L. Thank you.
MichelleBorba.com and put yourself in someone else's shoes, not literally because they might not be your style.
Sure.
But we need to be more empathetic. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Borba. We'll take a quick break. Kim Gordon has the news and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, WGN.